Poet and screenwriter Brian Broome's new memoir is Punch Me Up to the Gods. His debut, the book explores Black masculinity, self-preservation, and our collective culture, all through the lenses of race, identity, and gender. Brian Broome joins me now. Hi, Brian.
Hey, how are you, Jared?
I'm doing well. Let's just get started. You know, your memoir is an unfiltered and unapologetic, funny and unsettling. Tell me a bit about the writing process. When did you begin the essays in the book? When did you know it was a book? And what was your process for excavating the recollections that make up the book?
Well, the book kind of started in an unusual way. I went to rehab for drugs and alcohol. And when I went to rehab, I was in a room with a man who snored. I mean, he snored so loud. And it kept me up at night. And after a few days, I just decided to grab the pen and paper that they gave me in rehab and just start writing. And I tried to write to a theme, basically. I started writing about, you know, why I thought I was in rehab, you know. And instead of addressing the issue, like, directly, I just decided to write some of the stories that, you know, I thought were sort of watershed moments in my life. And, you know, in writing these stories, I think those stories kind of came up with a theme that I, you know, kind of hated myself. And then diving further into it, I started to examine, you know, why I hated myself. So that's how the book began. I didn't know it was a book at all when I first started writing it. I came out of rehab. I was desperately afraid of relapsing, so I just stayed at home a lot. And I was writing a lot on social media, and a friend of mine encouraged me to maybe submit some of my writing somewhere. And I did that, and the first thing that I submitted got published in the Ocean State Review, I believe. And then I kind of got bored of just staying at home by myself, so I went out and started performing these stories that I was writing at local venues, readings at bookstores, and I did The Moth a couple times. And that's when I got an agent. A woman walked up to me and asked if she could represent me, which was crazy to me. And from there, she just sort of asked me what I had laying around that I was working on, and I showed her these stories. And that's when the idea for a book came into play. I forgot the third question you asked me.
I was wondering, you know, just the process of excavating like these recollections. How did you pull them out? You know, whether it was in rehab or when you were out, just what that process was like for you.
Oh, both. You know, definitely in rehab. You know, the incidents in the book are, you know, indelibly tattooed on my brain. I remember them, I think, very clearly, but you know how memory can be. And what I did was I tried to just sort of get back in the headspace that I was during the particular moment. You know, there's a moment in the book where I play basketball or try to play basketball. And I just had to sort of sit and remember and sit in the embarrassment of how foolish I looked, you know, trying to play basketball. So it was things like that. I just have to sort of sit where it's quiet and try to get back to the person that I was then.
Great. I want to go back to when you realized that it was a book and about the book structure. You know, the memoir is structured around the Gwendolyn Brooks poem "We Real Cool," with a line from the poem titling each section. And I'm wondering, you know, what does this poem mean to you, and why did you want to use this as a narrative device?
I discovered that poem while I was writing the book, and when I read it, I thought, well, this is exactly what I'm writing about, this idea of, you know, masculinity, you know, above all other things that we have in our culture. And I think specifically we have it a lot in Black culture. And when I read it, I thought this is a small little examination of Black masculinity. Gwendolyn Brooks says that she wrote the poem after walking past a pool hall. And she saw seven boys inside the pool hall who were doing very sort of manly things. And she wondered how they felt about themselves. And I just, you know, reading that and hearing that interview with her, I thought, you know, what did I think about myself you know, at that age as a boy. And so I started, you know, looking at the poem more deeply, and I thought I had a story for every line in the poem. And as I examined the poem further, I found bell hooks had written a book also based on the poem, or at least she titled her book after the poem. It's called We Real Cool, Black Man and Masculinity. And I tried to read her book. Bell Hooks is incredibly smart. And a lot of it was very, very intellectual. And I, you know, tried to get it. But then I thought, well, you know, I can just write these stories for each line. And it sort of worked out that way. It's a great poem. And I was blessed that the Gwendolyn Brooks Foundation allowed me to use it in this book.
Well, you speaking of Gwendolyn Brooks, observing these men, you sort of do the same thing. And, you know, one of the through lines in the book is this story called The Initiation of Tuan. Can you just briefly first explain for our listeners what's happening in these sections? And then I wonder if you can tell us, you know, what made you gravitate towards Tuan and how his lived experience that you were witnessing allowed you to access and understand your own initiation into the concept of Black manhood.
Sure. I, you know, I write on the bus all the time. It's a habit I've gotten into. I don't know why I feel particularly comfortable writing on the bus, but it's something that I do, you know, a lot. And I look like a complete weirdo, you know, sitting there scribbling and looking and spying on people on the bus. But, you know, one day I got on the bus and I saw a man and his young son, a toddler, basically, interacting. I at first saw them at the bus stop. And the interaction, the initial interaction that I witnessed, I was curious about. And what I did see when we all boarded the bus was, you know, this man was teaching his son how not to behave already, you know, at his young age. And it struck me because I thought about my own father and all the things that he would teach me not to be, sometimes in ways that were less than kind, shall we say. And I just thought about all the restrictions that go along with being A, male, and B, a Black male. It seemed to me that you have to be the toughest, you know, thing in the room. You have to be devoid of feeling. You have to be devoid of tenderness. And so I watched them and I took notes on their interactions. And those interactions go make a through line through the book. What I realized, you know, again, was that I think because of racism in our society, Black men have been put in this position of having to feel like we are the toughest and the roughest men out there, the least emotional men out there. And I think that that's unfortunate because I think that one sacrifices a bit of one's humanity in doing that.
Yes, yes. I am in thinking about that, then, you know, the sacrifice of that, your memoir, you know, addresses these things, not just through the story of Tuan, but the memoir, you know, addresses fear and shame, confusion, as a Black man, as a gay Black man in America. And, you know, though Black masculinity is central to the memoir, and its relationship to others, particularly Black women, is also studied. And, you know, you write about a number of Black women who affected your life, citing their confidence, their strength, their patience. And at one point, referring to your time as a kid, writing, quote, what I didn't know at the time is that what Black men lean on the most, whether we want to admit it or not, is Black women, end quote. And so I'm wondering, you know, what have Black women meant in your life? And why did you feel it necessary for you to create space for Black women in this book that's seemingly about Black masculinity?
I don't think you can really talk about Black masculinity without talking about women and how this idea, this, you know, affects women. Because, you know, oftentimes when men want to prove themselves masculine, they do it by you know, somehow involving a woman, you know, whether that be good or bad, you know, and those two things are both kind of dependent on the woman responding a certain way. You know, in our culture, you know, Black women, I think, support a lot of things that they just sort of wind up having to support in order to make other people or to help other people succeed. I think some of those other people are Black men. And I personally grew accustomed to Black women coming to my rescue. I don't think that that's a good thing. I think that sometimes we should come to the rescue of Black women. But throughout my life, you know, from my mother to my friends who helped me come out to, you know, my friend who helped me in sobriety, I have leaned on Black women. And I see that in common with a lot of other Black men, be they gay or straight or whatever.
Yes. Well, I guess then the final question that I have for you is if you have the time right now, I know the book is coming and we're really excited. What are you reading right now?
Oh my gosh, nothing. Nothing. I haven't had time to, I really don't feel like I've had time to, you know, just kind of sit down and enjoy a book in the way that I used to. You know, something is always coming up, but hopefully things will slow down, you know, at some point, and I'll be able to sit down and just read. The last book I read, I think, was Jhumpa Lahiri's Interpreter of Maladies. It's a great book. I started to read Isabel Wilkerson's Caste, but then, you know, life got in the way. So I try to get in a few pages every night. It's a great book. But, you know, I'm an old man and I got to go to bed early. So I do my all my stuff that I have to do during the day, and I open that book and at night, and I only get a few pages in before I'm just really tired. But I do plan to, you know, get back to reading more regularly at some time soon in the future.
That's wonderful. So Brian Broome is the author of Punch Me Up to the Gods. It's an intimate, boundary-pushing memoir. He teaches writing at the University of Pittsburgh. Brian, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me. It was great. Thank you.